On today's show, I'm talking to Honor Marks, the founder of the Magical Midlife Membership. She's helping women to redefine and refire their lives as they get older. Approaching 60 herself, she's a force to be reckoned with, a breath of fresh air and an inspiration to a lot of women. Something I discovered on our two-week road trip through France in my motorhome. But before we get started, can I ask that you give us a follow on your podcast app or Instagram? Now let's get on with the podcast. Welcome to Retirement Rebel Life After 60. I'm your host, Siobhan Daniels. Join me on a journey to meet inspiring rebels who've redefined retirement. Together, we'll explore new passions, triumphs over challenges, and discover the vibrant possibilities of life after 60. This is about living boldly, not just aging. So are you ready to rebel? Last week, I spoke to the wonderful Annie Sturck, a woman in her 70s who's making the most of life. She challenges the misconceptions of what being old really means. As a silver-haired model, she tells people, just do it, an attitude that I love. If you've not heard our chat, then please do give it a listen. You can find it on any podcast platform or through my website, retirementrebel.co.uk. Thanks so much for joining me, Honor, although I am in your house in another room so that I can record this with you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And I've just got all little sugars, really, with you, that little introduction. So thank you for that. It's lovely.
But you are an inspiration to so many women. And I've just spent 2 weeks with you in my motorhome, Dora the Explorer. And that's why I wanted you on the podcast, really, because I learned so much about you and myself and women of our age around late 50s, early 60s, who have got so many insecurities about themselves and what and are sort of repositioning their lives. And I found you so inspirational to talk to. But first of all, why on earth did you say yes to coming in my motorhome, to facing a fear and taking a risk at the good old age of 59?
I think it's because, as people like you have inspired me, really, because I, you know, you have one life and we are very grateful to be here. And I don't want to look back and think about all the things I should have done that I didn't do. And, you know, your story, I've read your book, I love it. And obviously I've met you and you're wonderfully one of my founding members of my Magical Midlife Membership as well. Put that in there. But I thought, well, I'd like to have an adventure. And also I needed a lift home, if we're honest. I needed a lift home.
Yeah, because we met, didn't we, at a lunch in London. And you jokingly said to me, we'd met once the year before, and you jokingly said to me, hey, how about a lift home? And we just quite liked the stupidity of the idea, really, didn't we?
Yeah, I think it also, it was a challenge for you, wasn't it? I know you've done a trip in France before, but a big trip like this, and you kind of embraced that challenge as well. So both of us were doing something new. You could say we were practical strangers, but I'm pretty confident. I just felt a gut feeling that it would work.
What did you hope to get out of it?
I didn't have, you know, I didn't have any expectations. I just thought we'd have a lot of fun. I got far more out of it than I thought I would. I didn't even cross my mind what I'd get out of it. Yes, we saw beautiful places. We went to amazing, gorgeous places in France that I've always wanted to go to or go back to. So that was, you know, that was a no-brainer. But what I got out of it that I didn't expect to get out, which to me is the golden nugget, the piece of magic, was actually getting to know me and getting to know you and the conversations that we had and the discussions. And we didn't always, or we might not always initially agree with something, but actually I'm really receptive and open to things. And I learned so much from you. So in the end, I'm kind of, you know, I feel like I'm your protege and you're my mentor in so many ways. I learned so much about so many things and you've opened my eyes. So I've grown. I really have grown. You've given me an awful lot. So it's far exceeded my expectations.
I mean, that's good for me to hear, because one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast, Retirement Rebel Life After 60, is because I want to help and inspire and get women to grow and get us all to talk about the kind of things that we actually want to do as we're in our 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s and beyond. Because I think so often we're just clumped together as 50 plus and nobody really has that many inspirational figures. And I'm glad that both me and you are inspiring other women. But just take me back to your childhood and your life and when you were growing up. What did you think of women who were in their late 50s and 60s? And what did you think your life was going to be like?
I honestly thought by this age, I would be probably happily married, living in a wisteria-covered cottage with 2.4 kids and who knows, maybe grandchildren too. I've never been particularly maternal, but you know, that's, you just have this image, don't you? It's all those Enid Blyton books I read, or Janet and John Lady Bird books that kind of narrate how you think it's going to be. And yes, to me, I'm 59. You know, that's old. That was old, and that would just, you know, that's it. It didn't even cross my mind that I would be traveling across country in a motorhome with a strange woman. Or
they don't come any stranger than me.
And the things I've done in the last year, you know, realizing that I'm very grateful to be here. And I know that I'm inspiring women younger than me as well. I'm a role model to my daughter to show her that actually what I thought at that age when I was younger is not actually what it's like at all. And I think we're very lucky in a way because social media and those platforms have allowed us to share what we're doing. So my mother's generation certainly would not, my mum wouldn't have done this. She just wouldn't have done this. I love my mum. She's amazing. And she was my role model. In some ways, she was quite ahead of her time having her own business in those days, et cetera, et cetera. But she wouldn't have done something like this because one just didn't. But it's true that there's more things available. Travel is easier. I would say it's cheaper than it ever used to be, but actually I'm not so sure about that. But we're slowly being surrounded by people that are showing us that actually it is just a number. And the only person that's stopping you from doing that is you.
How important do you think it is that people like your daughter and my daughter see women like us saying yes to things, facing fears and getting out there and actually doing it?
I think it's so important. I wish I could go back to my younger self and tell her, you know, just stop worrying and, you know, just do these things. Just, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. I know it's a cliche, but it's a good one. I hope that my daughter, and I'm pretty sure your daughter definitely is, but I hope my daughter, despite the eye rolls that she often gives me and calls me a weirdo.
Oh, I know those very well.
Oh, yes. But I hope that deep down she's proud of what I'm doing. I, you know, in my magical membership, I've got younger members. I remember asking one of the girls, why did you join this group? And she said, because I just want to know that life after 50, she told me, because she's in her 40s, isn't over. And I love the fact that I've got women up until the age of 80 in my group. And, you know, because every sort of like in this decade needs the next decade to show them this is actually what life is like. This is living.
I know that feeling all too well because when I was in my mid-50s, I was thinking, is this the beginning of the slowing down process? You know, is what next kind of thing? And I had no idea that I could feel as vibrant and as happy and as fulfilled as I'm feeling now. And that's why I want to take people on the journey with me. And, you know, you saying yes to coming with me and joining me on part of my journey was just fabulous for me. It was sort of reaffirming that what I'm doing is the right thing to do. And not only that, to see you embrace it and enjoy it and it to change your thought process about just possessions, for example, it's made you rethink, hasn't it?
Absolutely. So going back on that point, I've all my life, I've never really known what I want to be when I grow up. And I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. You know, I've always felt that I haven't fulfilled my full potential, but for the first time in my life, I feel closer to it than ever. And I kind of think it's taken all those years to get to this place when I've got the experience, the confidence, the kudos, the gravitas, you know, the knowledge that you kind of need with those years to be able to go and fill my full potential. So my story isn't ended. No one's story is ended until the day it ends, you know? And there is so much. I feel I've got so much more to do and give. And I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about that. Whereas perhaps if you'd asked me 20 years ago, it would have been all doom and gloom. But now, no, Frank, bring it on is what I say.
Take me through the journey of where you've come from and how you've got to this place, living in the south of France, running some beautiful gîtes, something that we'll talk about in a minute. But take me on the journey. Where have you come from? You were originally working in London, weren't you?
Yes, indeed. I'm actually from Kent, but I did live in London and I had a house there and I had a big career there in recruitment and got fed up with that. I just was so uninspired by these people and this material world. So in some ways, I started to come away from the big city life and had a few other jobs, including a decluttering business, a silk loungewear business. But it was my then husband who actually said, Honor, let's shake it up. Let's go do something different. Let's not wait. Everyone talks about moving to the south of France or doing other things when they retire. He said, let's not wait till then. Let's live our lives now. And I will be honest, I was a bit reluctant because I had a really lovely house, great lifestyle. I was just setting up the decluttering business. It was tricky for me. Didn't really want to leave my widowed mummy there, you know, either. I was very close. So I came out of a huge comfort zone movement. It was a huge leap of faith. And in my early 40s, I basically sold up and we moved down to the south of France, rented somewhere whilst we looked for somewhere to develop. If I'm honest, hand on heart, the first year, I hated it. That transitional year was quite difficult for me. What was I doing? What had I done? Who does this? I've given up, you know, potential to earn decent money. I'm not going to ever earn that kind of money here. And giving up a beautiful house that was actually a pension for me, so a big, big risk. But you know what? I did it and nothing, the world didn't stop turning on its axis and everything's, and from that, so many wonderful things have happened.
You and your husband split up though eventually, didn't you? And you've had a journey on your own as a single parent. That must have been tough for you.
It was terrifying. And, you know, my knee-jerk reaction at the time, because my daughter was 12, was to sell everything and go back to England. But then I thought, well, my daughter settled in school, one. And two, you can't just sell up, by the way. It doesn't work like that. And I thought, and I've got some friends, I've got friends here. And I just kind of thought that failure is not an option for me. So I have to carry on. I had a good business already. I built up a reputation, you know, lovely network of friends. And I had a great lifestyle because, funnily enough, when you live in the south of France, all your friends want to come and visit you. And I absolutely love that, actually. And I get quality time with people I adore. Whereas when I used to live in the UK, you'd see them for a quick lunch or quick dinner and it'd be a quick, you know, what have you. And there wasn't quality. When you live with someone, it's, as we know, Siobhan, it's the bits in between, really, where you're chatting and the magic happens. So I didn't want to give up that lifestyle. So it was hard. I was scared, but I just got on with it. We're women. We can do things like that.
How difficult was it for you, though, as a single mother, an English woman in France, trying to, you know, keep your business going, forge your way forward?
I don't think it was that difficult because I'm just a roll my shirt sleeves up kind of woman and get on with it, you know? It could be very lonely sometimes and quite isolating, particularly when you're running a business and something goes wrong. And my ex-husband was a builder, so something kind of, if somebody went through their floorboard, then he could fix it. I now have to find a tradesman. Not always easy, not always just like that. Speaking in another language, dealing with perhaps a bit of a misogynist kind of culture a little bit, although it is changing, it has improved. My French is not as, it's never been as good as it really should be. But I don't know, somehow I winged it. I winged it or won it. I just did it. I was resourceful. I asked for help. I absolutely asked for help. I got loads of people to come and, it's something called workaways. They come and live with you and they work with you, for you, with you, in exchange for food and lodging. So I got to meet people from all over the world and I got help. That's it. It's fine to ask for help.
I'm just going to interrupt for a moment to shamelessly plug my book, Retirement Rebel. It's published by Vertebrate Publishers, and it's my honest account of feeling broken in my 50s and finding my happy place in my mid-60s. I got rid of my home and possessions and hit the road in my motorhome for a roller coaster ride along life's adventures. I want it to help younger women not to fear aging and older women to grab life and run with it. You can purchase a copy in most bookstores and on Amazon. Right, now back to the conversation. Fast forward, as you're in your 50s and you're going through the menopause, what impact did that have on you and the way that you think in your life? Did it have an impact or not?
Do you know, I don't think I was aware of it because I'm 59 now and I suspect I hit menopause at 51. At that same time, I was dealing with, I was a year in, my husband left me on my 50th, right? Not great timing, not a good, great thing to do whilst we're on holiday. And I've been probably been perimenopause, and who knows, maybe I can't remember, which is a symptom of menopause, I know. But I don't, I thought I fell through it, but maybe I didn't. Maybe these, you know, that and dealing with a teenager and dealing with difficulties with an ex-husband, maybe that made life more difficult. But I didn't focus on that. I didn't, that never defined me. It's never defined me, menopause, ever. And I feel that I'm probably post-menopause, but I'm pretty sure I have the symptoms of, I mean, I don't sleep throughout the night sometimes. You know, I, like many women, forget what the hell I came into the room to do. Often I forget lots of things, but you know, that's just what happens when you get to our age, menopause or whatever. I just deal with it. It's not, doesn't define me. I'm bigger than that, but I've been lucky. Perhaps I've been lucky.
I think for a lot of women, and I know for me, it was a particularly difficult time. And I think what I love about you is you've created this group of women that actually helps a lot of women through that and post that and gets women together, doesn't it? That they can actually talk about things and go, do you know what? That's what I feel. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm thinking. That's what's happening to me. So just tell me about how did it come about setting up the magical midlife membership?
I had if I could roll it back a bit, my Jeep business was starting during lockdown. My Jeep business obviously had a lot of problems with you weren't allowed to travel. So all my Jeep bookings started to get postponed. And I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? I need to do something. My daughter's doing her baccalaureate online. I don't want her to see me being, oh my God, what am I going to do? I need to be proactive. And I had a business coach and she suggested I start doing some Instagram coaching. So I was on Instagram, all the time and doing some coaching. And then one day, one of the girls, in fact, somebody that you know, Maria, who has a Riyadh in Marrakesh, suggested Honor, because I did various courses, I want to meet us girls to all get together. Let's do something at your Jeeps. So I kind of held, if you like, one of my own first women get-togethers in my Jeeps. I had hosted yoga and angel retreats before, but as a simply kind of host rather than facilitator. And off the back of that, I started to organise other things.
The first one you did, though, what was that like? What was the atmosphere like? What did you think?
It was fantastic. I am still extremely good friends with all of those women because I keep saying this, when women come together, magic happens.
Yeah.
And we were all kind of around the same age, you know, in our 50s and 60s. One is nearly 70. Somehow we came through the crisis of lockdown and COVID and all that together. We had a mutual kind of admiration for each other. And what I get, love and get from everybody is authenticity. And I think they got that from me as well. And so that evolved into me hosting retreats. And I'm a networker. I love bringing people together. And again, my mentor who told me to do the Instagram coach, she said, Honor, you know, you get people together for your retreat, you can do this online as well. Because not everyone can get to the South of France, right? Not everyone can afford to get to South of France. But they want to be part of a community and part of something special. So on January the 1st, 2023, I launched my Magical Midlife membership. And within about 3 to 4 weeks, I had nearly 100 members, which was overwhelming for me. And, you know, so most of those founders, they're still there.
But it's a testament to you that so many women wanted to be in your gang, really. And I joined very early on, and I don't join things like that, but I kind of wanted to be in your gang. I liked what you were doing. It resonated with me. But also, I like all kind of, you get guest speakers. I mean, what do you offer people in this group of women?
Yes, thank you. By the way, I'm terribly flattered that you are in my group, and I was right from the beginning. And it's a compliment to me. It means an awful lot to me that anyone who joins it is. So really what it is, it's online, but it can be in real life. And I encourage people to organize local things. We have weekly Zoom chats so that people can catch up and we can talk about any subject or just chat about anything. But at least once and usually twice a month, I get very excited. I invite either guest experts and or inspirational women to come and talk to us about whatever subject. I mean, you were a guest speaker, obviously, and I'm going to get you back in again as well and to be one of our lovely inspirational speakers, because your life has moved on in the last year since you came and did that talk. And I have people, guest experts. It could be a sleep expert, it could be a nutritionist, it could be a movement coach, it could be a sex coach, it could be, well, I had somebody who came to talk to us about preparing for death, actually, which turned out to be not as morbid as it sounds, but things that you should take for granted, like, you know, God forbid, but I don't want my daughter to be worrying about what colour knickers she should be putting me in the day she buries me. Little things like that, you know?
But what I love as well, though, is the topics that you discuss. And it just gives people, women of that age, the opportunity to say what they feel, to explore what they feel, to find avenues to feel alive and that they're not going in the wrong direction, or to be inspired by others. And I think often I particularly withdraw from life when I was going through the menopause, when I was feeling insecure, when I was feeling a lack of purpose. So to join a group of women like that and just sit on the fringes at first is what I did, and just listen and then start that light bulb moment of thinking, oh my goodness, that's what I was like. That's what I was thinking. Look at them now. I can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. All my experts are recorded, so when people can't come to the lives, they can listen to it later. But what's lovely is they are live and they are interactive, so people can ask questions. It's a very safe place. And there is everybody has a story. They think they don't, but they absolutely do. And every single body can support somebody else or be supported by somebody else. The value is what we can be for each other. And I have another kind of hashtag, which is together we are quite simply stronger. And I really believe that. You haven't always walked in that person's shoes necessarily, but by listening to their story, you might be able to help somebody who's just about to walk in those shoes or has done. You can become a better friend, a better wife, a better girlfriend, a better mom, a better anything, you know, a better partner, or just a better version of yourself by the stuff you learn. The other thing is, I really truly believe as we get older, actually our circles, social circles, get a bit smaller sometimes. And it's really, I think, important to meet new people and open up your mind. I've opened up and learned so much in just the last 2 weeks by spending that time with you. And I've learned things about myself, and I hope I've grown. There's still some educating to be done. I know that, and it will take time, but drip, drip, feed, it'll get there. And I want other people to have some of that. And I think with, you know, all of that, in fact. And in these groups, we, you know, that's the magic of it all. It's just helping each other, supporting each other.
But that's, when you say about growing, we've had some really heart-to-heart discussions, haven't we, in the motorhome over the last 2 weeks, in particular about how we as a society see women when they get older, about being aging or anti-aging and pro-aging and positive aging and all the kind of anti-aging messages that are thrown at us from when we're very young. And I found that a stimulating conversation with you because, you know, we've not always agreed on what old is. What are your thoughts on that, about the anti-aging message that we get and what we should actually be doing?
Well, in actual fact, I mean, again, you have really massively kind of taught me stuff and made me realise things.
Like what?
You know, we see things, we've got good intentions, but actually we're using the wrong language. And it's funny, when I went to the bathroom just a minute ago and I saw a pot of cream, it said anti-aging. It really made my blood boil.
Good.
How dare they? Oh, and I'm going to do a post at some point ranting to beauty. I know I'm not the first and I won't be the last. How dare they? You know, we're surrounded by people that don't even make it to our age. We should be so bloody grateful to be whatever age we are. So anti-age I'm getting all shivery now and angry about it. Perhaps 2 weeks ago, it did annoy me, but now it really annoys me, Siobhan. You've done this to me. And I almost don't want to buy anything that says anti-aging, because how bloody dare they?
But it's true. I for years actually sought out things that said anti-aging. Yeah. And now, you know, I've come the whole way round. And I think, do shout out about it. Do put posts about it. The more of us that can do it, the more of us that vote with our feet, the more of us that challenge the beauty industry and the fashion industry and say, look, we're not anti-aging, we're pro-aging. It is a privilege to be able to do that. And we're all doing it. My sister, it would have been her birthday yesterday. She would have been 66. And she died at 53, and she didn't have that luxury to be able to age. And I do this, and I bang that drum because, gosh, it's made me feel emotional. But I bang that drum because I want us to appreciate the beauty of what we're able to do. And we need to stop this anti-aging message, because what it's doing is actually stopping a lot of people living, a lot of youngsters from living, because they start very young fighting something that is inevitable.
Yes. Yes. And you know, my thoughts on tweakments and stuff like that, you know, I know we have a different perspective on that, but I do think it stems from, again, you know, old school society and Hollywood movie directors saying, once you get hit at a certain age, you're a has-been. So all the actresses, facelift and Botox will have to stay younger. And I think there's nothing wrong with being older, by the way. In fact, we're better when we're older, because like I said earlier, we've got more to offer, we've done more, we're so bloody full of knowledge, experience. God, I mean, we are valuable, like a good fine wine, which we know about, right?
Yeah, we were trying a bit. Oh my goodness, to that night we spent a couple of nights ago in the vineyard, Domaine Jones, that she runs a vineyard in the south of France. Try her wine, everybody. It is absolutely delicious. But she allowed us very kindly to park up the motorhome and to camp there and to sit there and talk. And she is another awesome woman. I've got to get her on the podcast, because her journey buying vineyards and old vines and nurturing them into fabulous wines is incredible.
And there's the point. She nurtures old vines. Then, you know, other people would throw them up because there has been. No. Old vines make fine wines, as she would say. And she's quite right. And she protecting the heritage. And, you know, so even old vines are more valuable, actually, than younger vines.
So looking back after our 2 weeks talking in the motorhome about positive aging and pro-aging and challenging anti-aging, what message would you give to your daughter and to her friends about aging?
Yeah, it's a good question. What would I message? I mean, I it's not so much a message, it's the action, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's leading by example. Yes, my daughter's eyes roll all the time. I don't think she's quite yet seen that image of me in my pajamas with my great big red furry wrap walking in the vines. You know, I know her eyes will roll. She'll be embarrassed.
If anybody hasn't seen it, you can go on Instagram on Siobhan Shavoff or on Honestly With Honour, and you can see it's hilarious. Honour just strutting up through those ancient vines wrapped in this bright pink fluffy, I don't know what you call it really, but you bought it.
Thing.
Where did you buy it from on our journey?
I bought it in Ile de Ré on our trip, didn't I?
That was right. Oh, yeah. What a beautiful place that was as well.
Well, yeah, I just think, you know, the message is that, you know, things get better. You know, you get better. You do, you know, as we mature, a bit like wine, actually, we just get better and better. So, you know, don't wish your life away. I want my daughter to grow old gracefully, and then eventually, like me, to grow old disgracefully. But more importantly, to grow old gratefully. And don't put shit in your face to try to be younger, because there's nothing wrong with looking how you look. And our wrinkles, well, I hate my wrinkles, but they're not going to change who I am.
There's nothing wrong with being old. Because as I've been banging on to you, haven't I, every day, old is good. Old is a positive.
And these wrinkles tell stories of laughter and, you know, all sorts of things. So like a tree, when you've got all those circles, it's telling a history and a story. You know, it's okay. If you have a plastic face, you know, whatever age, you know, you can't see the happiness and the stories of your life. And the more stories you have as you get older, the more interesting conversation lists you make at dinner parties.
I know, but also on our journey in this last 2 weeks in the motorhome, the interaction that we've had with hundreds and hundreds of women who've supported what we're doing because we're being authentic. I think that's what women want as well, is just to be able to age in an authentic way and not to feel those restraints and those self-limiting beliefs that they've got because of what society says we should and shouldn't be doing. We've been like acting like crazy women, but they have loved it and embraced it.
They have. And I really hope that more people will just let it all go. Just let everything go and go and enjoy and live that life. Don't dream about it. Do it. You have one life. You have a choice to make that choice and do it. And, you know, and as you talk about self-limiting beliefs, well, you made me go into cold water in the Mediterranean yesterday. But you know what? You said to me, Honor, as we were walking along to it, stop thinking it's going to be cold because then it will be cold. Stop believing it's going to be actually okay. And I absolutely took that on board and changed my mindset. And it really wasn't as bad as I thought. To be fair, the jellyfish did actually distract me quite a lot. I know you planted them in there to do that. And it worked. And it worked. So again, I went into cold water thinking, oh my God, I would just be at an ice spot when I came out. And actually, we were hanging around, didn't put our dry robes on. We were cool because it's all about mindset.
Yeah, it does show you. It is your mind. It is what you think. And I used to think that was a load of rubbish years ago, but I'm actually putting it in practice every day when I'm afraid of things or when I want to push myself further, to my limits further. I change my mindset and I kind of think, what's the worst that can happen? And I say yes to so many more things. And that's what I've loved about being with you. We didn't know each other. We've got to know each other. But you, I've seen you doing things along the way that I knew instinctively you didn't want to do. But you've rolled up your sleeves, you've got on with it. You know, even setting up, going, getting the water, finding the electric points, paying for just getting into campsites or parking places.
Yeah, I did stop. There was one thing I couldn't do, right? There's just...
I'm coming on to that. What was that then, Honor? What was the one thing?
I had one job and I could not do it. The one job was to empty the toilet. And my justification was, I'm going to try and not do any number twos in there and then I don't feel so guilty. Sometimes one needs must. I just couldn't do it. The first time I saw Siobhan do it, I was gagging so much. I'm sorry to say, a little bit of vomit actually came up in my mouth.
I have never heard such a noise in my life. Tears going down your eyes, everything. But I know if we do another, when we do another trip, hopefully in Italy, with your mindset, being that positive mindset, being changing, you know, going in the sea was the first step. But I know that you will get to a stage at some point. You won't like it. I don't like it, if I'm honest, but it has to be done. You will get on and you will do it.
Yeah, but we'll see about that. We'll see about that. I'll go back in the sea again.
Please don't make me do it. But so where do you go from here? You've got your magical midlife membership and you're getting these women together. Where do you see yourself going, you know, supporting women in the future and getting them to see the pro-age message as opposed to the anti-aging message?
I think it's all about, I mean, I would love to grow the membership and have more in real life. We do have lots of in real life meetups as well, people, and my retreats and holidays with me and just getting women together and talking, just talking and communicating and sharing. And that's what we need to do. And I want to get the more we do it, bit by bit, others will join in and it will roll on down, won't it, to the next, the women who are 5 years younger than us, 10 years younger than us, 15, and then our girls and more importantly, boys as well. We've got to talk about the boys too. It's not just about the women. So, and actually I always ask this question, do men worry about getting old? I don't know. Or how do they see old? We don't talk about them.
No, I honestly think there is a parallel. There's the guys the same age as us go through the same emotions and everything. And I hope that there are people out there supporting them the way that more and more women, our tribes, are getting together and supporting each other. Yes. But I think I feel I've got to heal myself before I can reach out and help other people. So that's why I am focusing predominantly on women and older women and women in their 60s. I wanted to see the figure 60 because so many women, it's that bridge going from 50 to 60, they really fear. And you yourself are now 59, you're coming into 60. Seeing women like me, has that helped you?
It really, really has. And actually in my membership, there are a lot. I would say the average age is probably around 60. And, and I see, we have a friend, don't we, Mitchie, who set up a business just 3 years ago. She spent her 60th birthday in India on business and sitting in front of the Taj Mahal on her own. It takes all the fear away when you see these incredible women, people like you, people like her, in their 60s, going, creating businesses or writing books or having adventures and forging ahead. And actually, it makes it incredibly less scary.
And that's why I wanted to get together the group of rebellious women and retirement rebels on a platform like this, because I know nearly every woman knows of some woman that's doing something incredible in her 60s, 70s, 80s, and that I wanted to have a platform that we can bring them all here. We can all hear them talk about it. We can sort of take from their experiences to make our lives that much better, as opposed to sitting there and fearing something that actually can be your best decade.
I agree. And one of my greatest joys at the moment is one of my more recent members to the membership is 80, and she joined the membership. She came to our lunch. She's joining the retreat in Marrakesh. She's probably going to come on one of my retreats here in France. At 80, she's living that life. She's, nothing's going to stop her or slow her down, I can tell you. And that's inspiring too. That's inspiring.
But also, she's not an exception. There are a lot of women in their 80s doing that kind of thing. But we just haven't had the platform for people to showcase it and to give examples and to give inspiration to others. So hopefully more and more of us will do this. But one thing you and I have encountered is the fact that we're told time and time again that people only want to see celebrities doing this. And I fight that tooth and nail so angrily. When you and I approach people to see if they wanted to record us doing our trips as two normal women, late 50s, early 60s, just being an example for others, the interaction we've had on social media shows that they want to see that. They want to see the authentic woman.
If I had a pound for every time someone said, "You two are fabulous, you should be on the television," goodness me, we'd be rolling in it now.
But they want the celebrities. What can we do about that? That's also a bit, for me, it feels like the cosmetic companies telling us you want anti-aging. We need people to somehow get the message out there that actually we want to see more ordinary people doing their ordinary things, which sometimes can be exceptional.
And the other thing is that some of those celebrities, unless they're kind of really old school, or these new school reality star celebrities, what celebrity about these people that aren't even, that's another story. Don't even let me go there. I think one thing that people can do, but I suspect it's not going to happen, is stop watching those shows of celebrities. The ratings will come down, then maybe they'll realise it. Put it where it hurts. Or everybody...
I'm not celebrity bashing. I don't want to... That's not what it's about.
Know,
but it's
I
just
know
say,
not.
Please, please, people, take on board. It's the authenticness. That's why I've got thousands of followers, why you've got thousands of followers. Because people... And they say to me, please don't change. Don't, sugarcoat it. When we started doing this interview today, I just said, oh my goodness, I look all washed out without my lipstick and things like that. And you said, do you want to borrow some of my red lipstick? And I went, no, because actually this is what I would look like. This is what I'm like today. And I'm just showing the authentic me as opposed to putting on a mask because I want people to think this is what I look like all the time. And I feel good actually about this. But every now and then I doubt myself because I think, what will other people think? I'm still like that. So I think the more authentic we are and the more we're out there running around in our pajamas in a vineyard, the more we can say to other people, you can do this. It's okay. Don't worry.
Absolutely. And I'm always doing stories without makeup. I mean, I've got to put some lipstick and mascara on, but I love it too. But I mostly don't wear makeup. And I when you get that story on Facebook or Instagram and it catches you with your face half like that, you're frozen. I mean, obviously the minute you press on it, you start being animated. I think, oh God, that's awful. And I think, but that's what I look like. That's who I am. What we look like does not, doesn't reflect on the person we are. It's the person that we are is what counts inside.
And that's what people want to see. So if anybody wants to come on one of your retreats, how can they do that?
I have a couple of websites, actually, people. If it's for sort of normal Jeep bookings, you could go to my maisondelaroche.com website. If it's a retreat, they are on that website too. But on my honestlywithhonor.com website, you've got my retreat and my membership. And I want people to just DM me, send me an email, ask me as many questions as you want, and I will answer all your questions. I love chatting and connecting with people. It's fantastic. It's nice to get to know them.
And you do a good job doing that. On this podcast is called Retirement Rebel, Life After 60. I love rebellious people, and I love talking to rebellious people and bringing rebellious people together. My question to you, Honor, is when is the last time that you felt like you were a rebel or felt that you'd been really rebellious? Or have you ever?
That's a very good question. And I don't think I have, but you, my daughter would probably say, Mummy, going out to put the rubbish in the bins in your pajamas yesterday was probably not, was a bit rebellious for someone of your, I don't know, staff, I don't know, for you. I don't know if I've done anything rebellious. It depends how you define it. I think some people would argue giving up a perfectly beautiful home and good job opportunities to move to the south of France, not knowing what the hell you're going to do or where you're going to live, actually was probably rebelling against a normal kind of, I say normal inverted commas, life. That maybe had been a bit rebellious. I did that in my early 40s. So maybe going on an adventure with you is a bit rebellious. Maybe I should have been here doing some gardening or something, because my garden's a mess. But I hate gardening, so if anyone wants to come here and do some gardening for me, you're most welcome. Just, I think, I don't know, what defines a rebel? I think a rebel is doing something that you want to do and not really caring what other people think about that, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. That's the most important thing. So, yeah.
I'm really glad that you were rebellious and decided to come on the trip with me, though, because I know that I've felt almost like another sister. I know that because we had that intensity of time together, driving for hours and talked, we connected on a far deeper level than I think, like you were saying before you moved from London, that superficial, shall we meet for lunch, shall we meet for coffee, and it's a quick half hour.
Exactly that. Exactly that, you know, and it's interesting, you know, we are a bit like sisters now. We have our little bickers, but you know, that's to me the biggest compliment. If you cannot have, I don't think, an honest, authentic friendship if you agree on everything all the time. It doesn't. I've never believed that.
Do you think that we become more rebellious the older we get?
I think, and if you don't, am I allowed to swear on here?
Yeah, I think so. Or we might have to bleep it.
We just give less fucks.
We might have to bleep that, but...
Bleep! We give less bleeps as we get older, I think. We just do. You know, once upon a time, we might have called it eccentric. But no, I don't think it is. I just think it's, you know... Yeah, you know, it's... What have we got to lose? And, you know, who... As long as you don't hurt anybody by not doing something that you want to do, the only person you're hurting is you. So, rebellious or just living life? I don't know. But I love it. I love the word rebel. And if I can be a rebel, I'd love to be a rebel. Please make me more rebellious. I want to be a rebel.
So what would you say to anybody who's like you, 59, approaching 60? What would you say to them about being in your 60s or approaching your 60s? What are your thoughts about it all? Are you fearful? Are you optimistic?
I am less and less fearful. I am more and more optimistic. And the reason being is because I surround myself with people like yourself and many other women a lot in my membership, on my retreat. I meet these women. I hear their stories. They think they haven't got stories, but trust me, they do. And they humble me. They put my life into perspective. You know, I see what where they've walked and how they've come on. And for me, it's about surrounding yourself with good people. That is how you're going to get through, I think, anything really. And believing in yourself. And just, again, it's a mindset. You can say, oh, I don't want to do this. Or you could say, I do want to do this. So it's all about changing.
Like emptying the toilet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, isn't it time to finish this podcast now? Hello. All the doorbells just went. Oh, no. Well, I don't understand you.
But what a way to end that strong believing in yourself and don't self-limit. And age as positively as you can.
I absolutely do believe that. And, you know, there is another little thing you can do to help with self-abase is kind of fake it till you make it in a way. Mm. And what I mean by that is, a boss once said to me, I said to him, I want to be a director one day. He says, well, start thinking and dressing and acting like a director. So start thinking and acting like that empowered 60 plus woman or 70 plus woman that you're going to be. Be that person. Walk in those shoes as if you already are. And then it eventually becomes natural. You metamorphose into it. That's the word I'm looking for.
I found my voice and my inner warrior through behaving like that. I'd started doing it. I was doubting myself when I was doing it, but I just thought, this is what I want. This is what I want my life to be. And it has become that. So yes, I thoroughly agree with what you said there.
And I think there's nothing wrong with winging it. There is no one person that's done it right ever. Mm. There is no rules. There's no rules. You set your own rules. And if it doesn't work, you try again. You cannot be successful without failing in a way. And just try it. Just wing it, let it go, have a go.
Oh, I've absolutely loved talking to you for the last 2 weeks, especially on the podcast. I can't wait for other women to listen to this and just to hear you and your enthusiasm for life. And I hope, they get in touch with you for your magical midlife membership and your Jeets. But just before we go, tell me, if they want to be in touch with you, what are your social media addresses for them? And we'll put it in the link as well.
Thank you. All my websites are on my Linktree, in my bio, on my Instagram account. So actually, if you go to @honestlywithhonor, if you go to my Instagram account and look on the Linktree, it's all there. Or just send me a DM. That's the best. I love talking to people. So come and send me a DM. Direct message. People that don't know what a DM is. Because there are people that don't know what it is. Come on.
See ya.
See ya. Thank you so much.
I hope that you enjoyed that conversation with Honor Marks. She really made me think more about aging. Having travelled for 2 weeks with her in my motorhome through France before we recorded the podcast and chatted to her about numerous issues surrounding getting older, I took away from this interview that those conversations have helped her to form her own strong views about the harmful effects on women of the anti-aging messages. She wants to be part of the change to push the pro-age message, and that makes me incredibly happy. She also taught me that our value lies more in what we do and how we behave with others, not what we look like on the outside. I'm more than determined than ever now to show my true, authentic self as I continue to campaign against anti-aging products and messages, especially to younger women who need to have older role models. All in all, I loved the rebellious side of Honor, and I'm more determined than ever to surround myself with my gorgeous, rebellious tribe of women. Next week, I'll be speaking to the financial expert Diane Watson, author of the book She Can Prosper. She helps women to sort out their finances to enable them to feel more empowered as they get older. Thank you so much for joining me on today's Retirement Rebel Life After 60. I'm truly grateful for your time and your willingness to embark on this journey with me. If today's conversation sparked something within you, or if you've your own rebel story to share, I'd love to hear from you. Please reach out through our social media channels or email, and let's keep the conversation going. Email us on podcast@retirementrebel.co.uk. And remember, if you found value in our time together today, consider sharing this episode with a friend who might also enjoy and benefit from our Retirement Rebel community. Spreading the word helps us grow and continue to challenge the narrative around life after 60. All of our details can be found on retirementrebel.co.uk. Retirement Rebel Life After 60 is written and hosted by me, Siobhan Daniels, and produced by the incredibly talented Matt Cheney. Join me again next week for another episode. Until then, keep embracing your inner rebel and living life to the fullest. Bye for now.